All right, welcome back to the podcast. This is our second lesson on A Man as Priest in His Home by Samuel Waldron. And we are on chapter 2 in our study. For those of you that are listening in, we're doing this study on Friday nights at 6:30. So the lessons on here are going to be a little bit shorter, only because in the meetings I tend to encourage questions and discussion based on the material. So these are going to be a little bit shorter, probably between 15 and 20 minutes in length, but the materials here, the basic, you know, the theme, the point of the lesson is here, and then you can kind of build off it a little bit more. For those of you that are members of the church, we do have some books that are left over. I think we have 4 or 5 left, plus the study guide that I typed up for it. So we're going to just proceed through it. It's only 9 lessons. I may double up on a couple of lessons in-house, but I'll keep them separate on here for the podcast. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the scriptural grounds for a man being a priest in his home, and a little bit more about his role in the home. This is going to pick up over the weeks, and you're going to see more of the responsibility that falls on the shoulders of the husband and the father as he acts in the capacity of a man as a priest in his home. Being a Christian in general takes a lot of responsibility. We have a lot to make sure that we take care of personally as Christians, and our spiritual disciplines are equally as important: our time in the Bible, our time in prayer, our time serving, and going to church. And that is a really big piece of it, being a leader in that regard, being faithful to those duties and setting an example for your family. That communicates a lot. You don't even have to say anything. Just be faithful, and that communicates a lot to your family, to your children, and in particular to your wife. Go to church. Be a part of what's going on in the church. Make sure that you communicate that your church life is important and that you won't compromise that. And of course, being there on Sunday is an important piece in all of that. But now we take it beyond the personal responsibility and act in the role of a priest in our home. And so that even adds more to it. As a husband and as a father, you have an even greater responsibility. And some of those responsibilities are the toughest you're ever going to face as a man. The decisions that you're going to make in the home and the burdens that you're going to bear as a leader, as a provider, and as a protector in the home, particularly within the context of your spiritual life, you're going to guard some things in your home that are going to be conducive to a healthy spiritual life, and that's going to be felt throughout the family. But if anything is off, then it's going to be a hard road up. So we will face some tough responsibilities, tough decisions, and we're going to have to really be the leaders in our homes in those areas where it's the toughest to lead. Now, we understand that we have a pretty big responsibility in that regard, but also we need to understand how weak and sinful, how prone to failure and error we are in those areas. We have to be humble before God in these areas and understand, as men and as fathers and husbands, we have these weaknesses that we must contend with. And this is why it really is a tough responsibility. I think that's why a lot of men today are just sort of hands off, it seems, in their home life and in their church life. They just pull their hands off and they're done. They don't want to engage because of the responsibility that goes along with it. But not only that, because they understand their own weaknesses. And this is where we need to be reminded of God. We need to be reminded of the kindness of God. We need to be reminded of God's grace and of God's mercy and of God's love and of God's promises and of God's commands. We need to be reminded of what the Word of God says in terms of how we are as husbands and fathers. The author said this, and I quote, "We cannot make progress in our own strength. We can only grow up and into our responsibilities with God's help," end quote. And so this, I think, is a great lead-in to this section and certainly forms the foundation for each chapter that follows or each lesson that follows, because it's the scriptural grounds. You know, what is the basis for what we're doing here as husbands and fathers? What's the scriptural? What's the biblical basis? And so again, it's a good reminder to us all that we are, in and of ourselves, weak and frail men, and we need the wisdom and the strength of God to carry us through our daily lives and then to help us to fulfill our roles as priests in our homes. So this is really, we're talking about the scriptural grounds for this, and the leading text for this was Ephesians 6:4, where it talks about fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You could go to Ephesians 5, and that covers the role of the husband in the home towards his wife. And we'll get to some of that later in the lesson. I didn't want to spend all that time on this one chapter. But we see in Ephesians 6:4, the man is addressed, the father, the home is addressed, the children, and the spirit in which we should lead our homes is not to provoke our children to anger. And that's a key thing there. Somebody had approached me on this one specific thing last week, I think it was, and just, you know, understanding the difference between discipline, which we're told to do, versus provoking your children by teasing them, picking on them, excessively abusing them, verbally abusing them, and holding back things that they need for their own well-being, even spiritually. I think one of the things I'd caution people with, we tend to, I see this, it happens in the church sometimes, and children will be punished from doing spiritual things. And I think that that's an overreach. I think we've got to be careful when doing that. That's something I've seen over the 18 years that I've been pastoring and 30 years I've been saved. It, you're not going to Sunday school, or you're not doing this, that, and the other thing. And I think we need to be very, very governed and careful in doing that, because it could send the wrong message to your children. And then at some point in time, they end up saying to you, you know what, we're done with this. We don't want to do this religion anymore. We're walking away. We're deconstructing. So you got to be careful. Don't create a problem and then get upset when the response to the problem that you created is negative and the children walk away from religion altogether. You could be a big part of that problem by provoking your children to wrath. And moms are just as guilty of doing this as well. But the lesson is focused on the dads. Be very careful of that stuff. I mean, you want to run a tight ship, you want to be firm, you want to have discipline and structure and order in your home. I'm all for it, 100%. It doesn't matter. I know some people that let them be kids. No, teach them structure now. Someday they're going to get in their car and they're going to drive down the road and they're going to meet structure. They're going to meet up with speed limit signs and stoplights, and they're going to see structure when they go to work. Right? You got a time to get into work, 8 o'clock, get there at 8 o'clock earlier. You got a lunch break, you get the boss, he tells you what to do. There's a process, procedure that's followed, safety protocol, all of that. There's structure in life. Why in the world would you deny that to your children now? Start teaching them structure now. It's okay to say no, in other words. So when we look at the priests in the Old Testament, we see they exercised and kept many functions of leadership, many of which are very similar to the duties of a man at home even now. Fathers are to be gentle, they're to be wise and benevolent towards their children. We see from Ephesians and other passages the spiritual work of fathers in the home. There's intercessions in prayer, we're going to cover that later on. Communicators of blessing. Directors in worship, instructors in scripture, judges in holy things. And we see in early history in our Bibles, the priests in the Old Testament were viewed as spiritual fathers. So it is natural to think of fathers today as spiritual priests. Some examples as seen in the Old Testament prior to the Mosaic Covenant would be Melchizedek, Jethro, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All these men fulfilled the role of priests in their homes. Then we see, not just in the early history in the Old Testament, but we also see the model given us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it should be that way. He is our model. He is a perfect model for us in every way, shape, and form. He is a model for us. Ephesians 5 covers a little bit of that for us. I'm turning there now because I don't have the scriptures written out in the notes, because this, again, this was something meant to be taught in a group setting. But in Ephesians 5, we see, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So we see the model of Christ. Christ is the perfect model as far as our duties to our wives. We're commanded to love our wives, and we're given a model for that in the same manner that Christ loved the church. And I realize there's a lot to unpack with this one, but clearly it is seen in this text and many other texts. So let's look at four things that show a connection to the priesthood. Number one, the Lord gave himself up an offering and a sacrifice to God. Number two, to sanctify. And so with this, the priest in the Old Testament would make people fit to enter into the presence of God. So they would offer up a sacrifice. Well, Christ has offered up himself as a perfect sacrifice to make us fit to enter into the presence of God. So we have this access into the throne room of God's grace. How often do we take advantage of that access? And then he talks about having cleansed. The words sanctify and cleanse are used together. So Christ as a high priest sanctifies and cleanses his people by his blood, thereby making them fit to be in the presence of God. Then we see the washing. And this is an activity closely related to the priest and his activity. Hebrews 9:13 would be a good text to look at. Priests are described as using water mixed with the ashes of a red heifer to cleanse ceremonial defilement. And Paul speaks of something similar when he speaks of the washing of water by the word. So the application is pretty straightforward. From a scriptural perspective, the application is straightforward. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, when a man fails as a priest, when he doesn't fulfill all of his duties, obviously, she should continue to support him and encourage him and pray for him in that regard. Again, going back to what I said in the opener, we're imperfect people. We're imperfect leaders. We're learning. We're growing. And so when there is a point, spiritually speaking, I'm keeping it in the context of our spiritual life and health and the spirituality of our home, I'm saying the wife should support him. As long as a husband is following the Lord, loving on the Lord, there should be support. And then, of course, there should be preparation, for the priesthood, preparation to do this, to lead. And that goes back to what I said earlier in terms of preparing yourself spiritually to be able to lead your home through prayer and study and your time in the Word of God and, of course, your faithfulness. And then I closed out the chapter with some questions, and these are meant to provoke thought for meditation and for application. Number one, in addition to what was discussed, what do you think the long-term fallout would be for provoking your children to wrath or to anger? I really want you to think about this question. We got a lot of young families in the church and a lot of very enthusiastic dads, and they want to do well, they want to do right. But I really want you to think about the long-term fallout for provoking your children to anger. I think there's an important piece there that is missing in a lot of homes. And dads can tend to be a little bit rough because that's the way they're wired. But be thinking about how you treat your children and make sure that you're modeling Christ in everything that you do and in your leadership. Number two, can you name three things you can intercede for on behalf of your family that you may not already do? Three things that you can intercede for in prayer on behalf of your family that you may not already do. So think about your prayer life. Do you pray for your wife? Do you pray for your children? What specific things can you pray for? And you know, I'll leave that up to you to figure it out. I think everybody's going to have some different answers on that, of course. And then based on the structure of your home, what are some things you can change to make it more conducive for spiritual health and growth? I think the biggest thing is not so much what you can add as much as it is what you take away. What things can you take away to create an environment that is conducive for spiritual growth? And this is a key point here because our lives are busy with a lot of things, and our homes can be very busy as well. And what can go? You know, what can go so that whatever that gap is, that vacuum is from that thing that you leave, you can fill that vacuum in with something spiritual, maybe Bible reading or maybe a sermon on, you know, YouTube or audio sermon or prayer time or family devotions. And that's another thing. I do want to take some time to talk about that at some point in another lesson separate from this, but talk about the family altar. You know, what do you do in your home as a family? Do you have time of prayer around the table? Do you talk about the Bible? Do you catechize your children and your wife? These are things that are lost today. And I think there is a resurgent in interest in doing that, particularly a Bible way. I noticed a number of the men that I've spoken to already on this do show an interest in doing this. And so I think it's an important step to be taken and one to be continued for sure. So that's lesson two. I hope it's a blessing to you. And we'll take it up again next week with chapter three. Take care and the Lord bless you.